5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Vice President of Content and Engaged Learning for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Before we get into today's question, which I love, but then again, I'm a pretty simple man. I love mostly all the questions I get. Quick pitch for Wednesday's episode. This coming Wednesday, later this week, David Plotty, Associate Athletic Director and Sports Information Director at the University of Colorado. That right there is an impressive title and a good reason to listen if you are considering a career in college athletics. But let me give you a little more additional perspective on the legend, David Plotty. He's worked for the Buffs for 42 years. He was recently inducted into the COSITA Hall of Fame, which is a college sports information directors association. He's helped hundreds of students become employed full-time in sports information, media relations, public relations, both in pro and in college. He's worked 5 BCS national championship games, all 5 of the college football playoff title games, 8 Rose Bowls, 2 Fiesta Bowls. In the pros, he's worked 398 Denver Broncos games and has been the Rockies' official scorer for 320 games. This guy knows what it's like to be in a D1 college program and the pros. He's like a walking encyclopedia of knowledge about this industry. So excited to have him on. Make sure you tune in Wednesday to that episode. I'm excited about it. You should be too. David's an awesome guy. He was patient with me as I dealt with some technology issues. So he's high up on my list because I've had some tech issues lately. Anyway, now let's get to today's question from Tyler in Missouri. Tyler. Hey, Brian. I love the new Work in Sports Academy. I just recently purchased all 4 modules as part of the bundle that you offer. I'm just blown away by the information and resources you provide for such a reasonable price. My favorite section so far in the coursework is on networking. I am not a natural networker, but your advice is making the process easier for me. One question. You talk a lot about networking on social media, but you primarily focus on LinkedIn. What about Twitter? Is it possible to network on Twitter? Thanks for all you do, Tyler in Missouri. Thank you, Tyler. And for all of you that haven't heard, what Tyler is mentioning is our new online courses. I've created 4 different online courses as part of our new Work in Sports Academy, which are all geared towards making the participant an expert in getting hired for sports jobs. Again, nobody in college teaches you like how to get a job. They don't really focus on that kind of stuff. They're going to teach you the skills to do a job. They're going to teach you sports sales techniques and marketing techniques and, you know, all these different techniques, but that are great for the job, broadcasting techniques, journalism, all that kind of great stuff. But they're not really teaching you the strategies and tactics for getting a job. So that's what we are focusing on. And that's where our online courses come in. If you're interested in more information, you can purchase individual courses or bundle them together for huge savings, which is what Tyler referenced. You can find the information at workinsports.com/gameplan. One more time, workinsports.com/gameplan. Okay. Tyler's referencing the building and maintaining your network course. And I have to say, I really like that one too, because I had to put a lot of deep thought and introspection into it because I'm not really a natural networker either. You've probably heard me say it a lot on here that I'm not always I'm not the yuck it up guy. I'm not the small talk guy. I'm not the one that's in a crowd and feels like I have and dominates the conversation or goes and meets new people or reaches out of his comfort zone. It's not really who I am. So I kind of teach that course from the perspective of everybody needs a network. So how can we make this as painless and productive experience as possible? So I like that. And Tyler makes a good point. And that's part of the fun of putting these courses out there is that there's a learning experience for me too, where people are coming back to me and saying, ooh, I loved this part, but what about expanding in this area? And Tyler makes a good point. I do talk a lot about LinkedIn because that's, I think, the most natural place to do networking on social media. But I should expand and talk a little bit more about techniques and processes for Twitter. So let's do that today. Here's a cool thing, too. If you were to purchase in the Work in Sports Academy, and trust me, I'd be humbled and thrilled if you did because I've put a lot of my best work into it. If you enrolled in the courses today and a month from now, I decide to add another video on Twitter networking, you'll have access to that too. So you have lifetime access when you buy the course, and that includes all the updates and new content I put in, and I'm going to constantly put in new content because that's how I roll. Okay, so let's get to the question. Twitter networking. I'll admit, I've sat back a little and watched and waited for many of you to show me how you network on Twitter. This is actually a legitimate approach that I took. Like, I feel like I know full well how to network on LinkedIn and other platforms. And for a while, I've kind of wondered to myself, I wonder how people are doing it on Twitter. Let's watch. Let's observe for a little bit. Let's like pretend we're at the zoo and we're watching it happen. And I've sat back and I've watched and I've waited for many of you to show me how you do it. And I've waited and waited and wanted to see some great ideas on how to leverage Twitter, but to date, I haven't seen it. I'm not scolding you, but I will tell you that no one has taken the ideas I talk about on LinkedIn and tried to use, tweak, or manipulate them a little to fit other platforms. I haven't seen it happen. For example, I always talk about networking being based upon finding a common thread, an icebreaker, some common ground, and utilizing that to start building a relationship. You know, that can be that that person is your uncle, or it can be a really strong thread like we attended the same school, or it can be a more abstract thread like I heard you on the Work in Sports podcast. All of those are threads. Some are stronger than others. I know from my guests, because they give me the feedback, that you guys and gals are great about connecting with them on LinkedIn and sharing that you heard them on the Work in Sports podcast, and you're going through a lot of those steps that I outlined for you, which is awesome. Nice work. But many guests and many people in general don't use LinkedIn that often. So your request to them isn't being ignored, it just may not be seen. You know, most people use LinkedIn when they're actively job seeking or if they are deeply connected to business and want to keep up on the thought leadership that's going on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I use it daily and I find myself getting smarter in a business sense because I'm reading so many other perspectives in that realm. Not other people approach it the same way. Not other people see it the same way. They might have a LinkedIn platform profile, but they maybe not tune in that often. So your job as the person seeking to network is to go where your target is. And you're not always going to know where that point is, so you have to do the legwork. You have to figure that out. For example, again, I gave a lot of examples. Sports agent Nicole Lynn is one of my all-time favorite Work in Sports podcast guests. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and do it. If you're unfamiliar, she represents Quinnen Williams, amongst other top talents in the NFL and in softball and in, I believe, other Olympic sports. She's like a crazy impressive woman. She is all over Twitter and it is a great follow. She's funny. She's engaging. She's smart. She's pointed. It's great. She's not on LinkedIn at all. Like when I first interviewed her, I was promoting it on LinkedIn. I was trying to find her so I could tag her and she literally isn't on there. She might be now, but she was not then. So if you listen to that podcast and tried to connect with her on LinkedIn using some of the strategies I've given before, if you couldn't find her and then just gave up, well, that's not good enough. Like really, you're just going to give up that easy? So how do you make this work? Like, okay, she's really active on Twitter. Let's go there and try to build this relationship or this connection. So that's easy said and done. Okay, go where they are. Try to build a relationship. Good. How do you make it work? Well, let's talk about some of the problems first. One of the reasons, there are two problems the way I see it. One of the reasons I don't promote Twitter as a great place to network is because in my experience, people generally look to do things in the easiest possible manner and then call the task done. Well, I did what you told me to. I, you know, connected with them on Twitter. And especially with Twitter, it's super easy. Like no one has to accept your invitation to connect. There's no work to be done. People just click a button to follow someone and consider that mission accomplished. And they look at me and say, I did what you told me to and nothing happened. I connected with them. I followed them. Well, what do you expect to happen? Like you got to put some work in here, people. Just following someone on Twitter is not networking. But that is unfortunately the way people perceive things. Do the minimum viable opportunity, do the minimum viable work and then consider it task accomplished. So I haven't pushed Twitter a lot because a lot of times people will just like follow someone and consider that a finished finished, you know, goal. And that's not good enough. The other problem I see is that many of you have silly or let's say creative Twitter handles that you may or may not want to use in a business style relationship. That's fair. For some, business is business and Twitter is for fun. Okay, if you want to segment your world like that, can't argue. But I can tell you, you're missing out on some opportunities to interact with people on their dominant platform. And you may want to consider keeping your handle a little more plain, right? A little more acceptable, a little more socially acceptable. Like mine is BClapSports. Like, that's pretty simple, right? It's who I am. It's what I do. Pretty simple. I don't use that handle that often, though. You can follow me. That's great. But I'm trying to, I don't know. I just do so much through the work and sports handle that I don't really use my own, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Now, but then that proves it again. That shows you my dominant platform is LinkedIn. So if you want to really network with me, go there. Some other people, and I don't use, you know, Twitter is more secondary. Some other people might be Twitter is their dominant platform and they're secondary to LinkedIn, or that might even be lower down on the list for them. They might be Instagram second. So you have to go where they are. Now, what do? Right? Let's get into the how. If you just follow someone and expect them to follow you back, that is not a plan or a strategy. That's just hoping, and that's not good enough. Again, we need to rely on the thread of connection. In this instance, let's use my podcast, as your thread. And this is going to take some time and effort, okay? So you listen to an interview on our show. Take some notes. Write down a quote that they shared or a concept or a follow-up question you may have. These are conversation starters. So now you follow them and you tweet out something like, quote, being a sports agent is about aggressively pursuing relationships and building trust, end quote, dash. Great advice from Agent Nicole Lynn on the Work in Sports podcast. You do the @ for Agent Nicole Lynn, you do the @ for Work in Sports podcast, you share this great quote. I guarantee you I will retweet it. I guarantee you she will retweet it. And then you start building something. Or maybe it's just finished listening to Agent Nicole Lynn on the Work in Sports podcast and was blown away. One follow-up, Nicole. How did you land your first client? Or maybe it's something like sports at Agent Nicole Lynn on the Work in Sports podcast just explained how difficult it is to be a woman in a predominantly male field. So refreshing to know I'm not alone. The aim of these tweets is simple. Like, these were simple gestures, right? Be genuine, be inquisitive, flatter your subject a little, and attempt to get, or better yet, earn a response. This isn't just a follow and wait. This is a follow and taking action. When they retweet or respond, now is the time to keep going. Ask a question, point out something else you loved, wish her good luck. Now remember, it's not about you. This isn't time to say, I want to be a sports agent too. What can you do for me? Make it all about your subject and keep the conversation going. When you start asking for things for your own personal gain, that's when people shut down. Remember the example I gave above for a question you could ask. It wasn't, I want to be an agent. How do I meet people? It was, how did you land your first client? Subtle difference here, but you were talking about them, but still getting useful information for you. Now, I believe in a multi-pronged networking approach. Target the people who are most important for you to connect with. Again, this is not a quantity game, it's a quality game. Connect with them on LinkedIn, follow them on Twitter, engage with them on multiple platforms, keep up with what they share, join in the conversation, respond to what they are saying. You can follow, like, let's use an example of someone, Jennifer Keene from Octagon. Okay, she's very active on Twitter, but she's also very active on LinkedIn. Connect with her on both platforms. Add a note to why you met her. I heard you on the Work in Sports podcast when you connect with her on LinkedIn. Love what you had to say there. Okay, but then also follow her on Twitter. Respond to some of her tweets out there. Make a response. Retweet her. Get involved with the conversation she's sharing on LinkedIn. Connect with her there. Have a conversation. Be present. Be noticeable, right? This is not hard stuff. Now, I wanted to quickly talk about slipping into somebody's DMs. I say avoid it. Okay. That should be safe for people, you know, I believe on a more personal level. When people slip into my DMs and just try to sell me on something or start to pry for more from me, I don't know. It feels like a little bit of a personal invasion, and I don't like it. So if somebody wanted to offer something to me like, hey, I know this person who would be a great podcast guest, that's totally fine. But if somebody slips in there and starts to ask me questions about very specific to their career or, you know, want, I find that very uncomfortable. So I would say to not do that and to try to have as much of your conversation happen in public and then try to migrate the more business style conversation where you might be able to have a question type relationship to LinkedIn. So maybe you migrate that conversation to somewhere else. So I want to make this point too. Emily Hall has been retweeting and sharing my content for years. So this is somebody being present and being noticeable, right? For years, she's shared when I've sent out posts, when I've sent out jobs, when I've sent out podcasts. I feel like I know her without really knowing her. I don't even know what her picture looks like. She literally has a like a ceramic pig with sunglasses as her avatar. So I don't know what she looks like. I have no idea. But I feel like I know her because we've conversed through Twitter before. Many, many other people do the same thing. It's not just her. But when you are visible and complimentary and active and engaging, you'll learn things from your networking subject and you can start to ask more probing questions that are self-serving. You can start to get to that point where you start to ask questions that you need the answer to, but after you've built something, right? So for example, if Emily reached out and asked me a question today, I would answer because for multiple years, she's been a visible supporter of our content and I feel like I'd almost owe it to her. So that would happen. You know, networks are earned, they take work, and while you need to adjust your approach depending on the platform, every social media channel has their pros and cons, and it's your job to kind of understand that. Like, what can I gain from a conversation on Twitter that I could not gain from a conversation on LinkedIn? Or you know, is this person more active over there? Or can I make a more lighthearted comment on Twitter where it fits? You know, there's different ways to approach each thing, and you need to kind of analyze that and see where it fits within your personality as well. But most importantly, go where the people are, right? If they're on LinkedIn all the time, great. If they're on Twitter all the time, great. Go there. Be there present. Make that connection. Start to have intelligent tweets you share. And I'm telling you, reference something they talked about in their podcast. That's a great way to not only get other people to know that it's out there and this give this person extra exposure, but it's flattering to know. Trust me, when I'm a guest on a show, if somebody says, oh, Brian Clapp shared this great thing where he said this, like right away, I feel good. I want to thank that person. It's a great way to open the door to conversation. So I want to see that start happening. I want to see you guys taking more notes on the podcast interviews, sharing little quotes, especially to those people that are active on Twitter. And I don't want to go too long. I'm rambling a little bit, but don't put all that effort in if the person isn't already active on Twitter. So I mean this, for example, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm saying like David Platty, our guest on Wednesday, if he's not on Twitter at all, don't go through the effort of, you know, pulling out quotes and doing all these things and sharing them on social if you don't think there's any chance he's going to see him because he's not on Twitter. That's not going to help you have a network with him. So if those people that you meet, Jennifer Keane, Christopher Flynn from the A's, Nicole Lynn, that you know are very active on Twitter, well, then it's worth your effort to do those things too because it's also economy of effort. You don't want to waste your time doing certain things. So I hope this is all making sense. It's really building a strategy for each individual person you're trying to network with and saying, where do they hang out? Where are they most active? What's their tone? What do they talk about? What are they doing? And how can I start to engage with them? Boop, I've got this thread from the Work and Sports podcast or from other thing. I can start to expand upon that. And that's how we're going to build this relationship. So that's how you can use Twitter to your best advantage. It's not the cleanest networking tool. I still think LinkedIn is, but you can get a lot of advantage out of a platform like Twitter. So don't be afraid to use it that way. And I want to start see people sharing our podcast and using some quotes and using this as a platform to start building those engagements. Okay. Tune into Wednesday's podcast with David Plotty. Tyler, I hope that answered your question really well. Thanks for listening, everyone. It's time to get back to work.